World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there, you bunch of what is this? This is you cultists. Thanks for joining us here, you cultists. By the way, get this off the chest before I forget it. We are not having a 4th of July show. It's on Friday, I think, isn't it? And Friday the 4th? No show on Friday. And again, those of you who live locally, we're having a little thing up at Sky High on Thursday night. You want to come and watch the fireworks? Just do me a favor. You want to come, let me know. Just let me say, yeah, we'll be there. You bring your own tatey chips and your own pop and do whatever. And the fireworks go off at 9:45. I understand that's pretty late for some people. 9:45. We're up sky high. We got the view of them all across the lake. It's pretty good view. Pretty cool. But if you can't, okay. If you want to, we'd love to have you. Man, oh, man, oh, man. The law. The law. Why do we hate the law so much? I guess if there's a jumping off place today, that's kind of where it is. Why do we hate the law? The Ten Commandments. Actually, if you get right down to it, we know this. Jesus said, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't say, well, you got to keep number 5 and you got to keep number 6. And number 7 is really important. Number 8, no. He said, there's only 2. He said that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second's like the first. You love your neighbor as yourself. And those two is the whole law. Does anybody know where that is? Anybody know where that is? Somebody dig that up for me right now. Where they went to Jesus and said, "What, Jesus, which is the greatest? What's the greatest commandment?" Now, look. I don't want to get into the debate here, argue about keeping the Ten Commandments and keeping the Sabbath. That's not the Sabbath. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want to go there. Okay, I don't want to go there. But we have to understand that we are, for the most part, governed. Our entire lives, our entire world, our entire universe is governed by laws. I kind of like to talk about that a little bit. Anybody find that for me yet, where Jesus said that? Anybody find where that is? Natural, we call them natural laws, the laws of nature, and of nature is God. Laws of nature. And what happens when you violate the law? There's a consequence for violating the law. Now, we call them speeding laws. We call them obscenity laws. We have all kinds of laws that we talk about here, but natural laws. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I really don't know if we understand it. And I was prompted, I guess, by... I'm thinking about this man I know that had the tree fall on him and kill him. Where is he?
Hey, Dave, Romans 2:14, maybe. I just looked it up, maybe.
Romans 2:14,
I don't know.
Romans 2, let's go to 14. Okay, stay right there. Start about 10, see what it says. Boy. Well, there's no respect of persons with God. In other words, he won't be nicer to Betty than me. God doesn't have any favorites. Stay with me. For as many have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. For as many as have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. See, that was back in the Old Testament times. The only way you could be justified, you had to obey the law. But we know you can't obey the law. You can't always. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law. Now, Paul's speaking about unsaved, what I would call probably Jews, huh? Gentiles, not. They don't have the law, he said, and do by nature the things contained in these, having no law, are a law unto themselves. And so they make up their own laws, which show the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Look, I'm trying to show you something about law and lawlessness. Stay with me here, okay? Which law, written in their hearts, a conscience, all their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts. See, one of the things we're fighting with in the American culture is people let's obey their conscience, thinking the conscience is telling them the truth. Right? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law. Make yourself boast of God. Know his will. Prove the things that are more excellent, but instructed out of the law. Nor confident that this, I don't know where this is going. I know this, that the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what I'm trying to get, okay? Pull up for me Galatians. Stay with me. Pull up for me Galatians. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot follow the law. You cannot follow the law. But if you be led of the Spirit, wow. You're not under the law. Because if you're led of the Spirit, you're going to do the things that the Spirit says. Now, the works of the flesh are many. Here they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. We can get into all that stuff. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Time out. Now, this is a whole other thing, and I'm going to have time into it. Folks, it's not talking about heaven. They that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Little test here, class. What is the kingdom of God? Can anybody tell me what the kingdom of God is? Come on now.
Peace, joy, and righteousness.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you do those things, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, you're not going to have righteousness, peace, and joy. You're not going to have it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. This doesn't have to do with heaven and hell, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What? So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Sorry, I got interrupted here by John. Romans 2. John Loveland says, for the law of the Spirit, I was getting there, John, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Wait a minute. That's a law? The law of sin and death? Okay, class, real quickly. Can somebody explain to me, just really, really simple, this is not hard. What is the law of sin and death?
Death. The wages of your sin is death.
The soul that sins, it shall die. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is who you are. Who you are. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. And really, what is death? Death is nothing more than separation from life. And all life is in Christ Jesus. Are you following here? So we are all, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It always amazes me how little we understand natural things. Go ahead, James, jump in and I feel you. Go ahead.
It says in Romans, where there is no law, there is no sin.
Say that again, sin, brother.
Where, huh?
Say that
where
again.
There is no law, there is no sin. Us who
where
live under...
Where there is no law, there is no sin. Show me the law. Show me the law, right?
So, I mean, that being said, I mean, we have this thing called the law of sin and death.
We do.
When you go from, when you go and you do stupid stuff as a believer, you can go back to the law of sin and death. It, this is what makes people sick.
Okay, but so,
what Messiah did at the cross, he took care of it or us.
Okay.
This is why there's no victory in Christ.
Listen, we've got to understand words, okay? We have to understand words. The soul that sins, it shall die, right? Sin brings death, meaning what? Not always natural death. You know this, don't you? That you can sin and not die. But if I were to go out on my wife, and she were to find out about, or she were to go out on me, and I find out about it, there's a death of a relationship. You understand? There's a death of a reputation. There's a death of authority. We're not always talking about natural or spiritual death here. The soul that sins, it shall die. Die means separation. Separation. You sin, you commit adultery, there's a death that occurs. You with me? Because we tend to always think about eternal consequences. And that's not what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about the natural consequences of the way we live our lives. And all you got to do is look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. There is no spirit of life in Christ Jesus in Washington, D.C. And so what's happening? We're walking in the spirit of death. We're under judgment everywhere we go. I got some good stuff here. I got some good stuff. You bear with me a second? So I did some Googling this morning. The laws of nature and of nature's God. What do we call those? We call those natural laws. Natural laws. Pull up, B. Yeah, thank you. Natural laws are fundamental principles that govern the behavior of the universe. You don't even have to know about God or know about Jesus Christ or know about Muhammad or know about Buddha or know about any of that stuff to understand that the natural laws are at work. Now, where did the natural laws come from? Stay with me. Natural laws are fundamental principles. Natural laws are fundamental principles that govern the behavior of the universe. J.R. Harrison would say the natural family law, right? We would talk about the law of sowing and reaping. We would talk about the law of fidelity. Okay, let me go again. In science, they're descriptive statements. Listen now, this is important. In science, laws are descriptive statements about how nature operates, often expressed mathematically. Like Newton's law of motion. Can anybody right now quote to me Newton's law of motion? Anybody? Come on. It's Newton's law of motion.
An object that is in motion stays in motion.
Or an object that is at rest stays at rest. Unless what?
Acted upon by an outside force.
Outside force. It's a law, right? We all live under this law. All of us live under this law. It's what they would call a natural law. Okay? So natural laws in science are descriptive, not prescriptive. They explain what will happen based on patterns and relationships in the natural world, but they will not dictate what should happen. Just because I can look at pornography doesn't mean I should. Just because I can skip out of the restaurant without paying the bill doesn't mean that I should. Are you with me? These are natural laws, folks. Examples of Newton's law of motion, law of universal gravitation, thermodynamics. But in legal and ethical philosophy, natural law suggests that there are objective moral principles that are inherent in nature and discoverable by human nature. These are called natural laws. Can somebody give me a natural law? Come on now, class participation. Somebody give me a natural law.
What goes up must come down.
That's a natural law, right?
Huh? Where Coach, the one you were from? Just saying, Coach, all things are permissible, or all things are permissible, but all things are not beneficial, wherever that verse is.
That's right. That's right. So if we, and unless we understand these laws, where do these laws come from? Okay. Natural law, folks, natural law would say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. That's natural law. And can you believe how many people in today's society are questioning that natural law? And even better yet, how many people in positions of authority are promoting that unnatural law? Right? I'm trying to get somewhere. Stay with me here, okay? I'm not going to belabor this. Put this in the chat. You guys get what's going on, right? There's an legal and ethical. Something is, just because something is legal does not mean it's ethical. I can be walking down the street and I can see a wallet on the ground. And it would be legal for me to pick up that wallet. But if I open up the wallet and it says Betty Perkins, there's no law that says I got to return it to Betty Perkins. But ethic law would say, the laws of ethical laws would say, you got to return it to the owner. You with me? Yeah, are you with me? And so what we're seeing going on in America is the canceling of natural law. These principles are considered universal, timeless, existing independently of human-made laws or scientific norms. What goes up must come down, period. Natural law has influenced the development of concepts like human rights and the idea of a just legal system. Can somebody help me out here? What's wrong with me being racist? Huh? What's wrong with me being racist? Am I allowed to like black people? Am I allowed to dislike short, fat people? Am I allowed to do that? Well, you are, but ethically, you shouldn't do that, Coach. Shouldn't do that. Why? Who says? These are the moral laws. There's a difference between a moral law and a natural law. In the natural law, what? What's the law of the jungle? Anybody know the law of the jungle? Come on. What's the law of the jungle?
Eat or be eaten.
The mighty survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. Now, in America, natural law, governmental law protects the innocent.
Like one parties. Do you feel bad? She's lovey.
Lorraine, we can hear you. Natural law, government protects the weak. What it's supposed to do. The laws, thou shalt not kill, is put in place to protect the weak one who's going to be killed. But we're overriding it, right? We're overriding it with philosophical law. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm heading somewhere. Pull up, it says A. A, Spencer, if you could. So the phrase laws of nature, nature's God, come from the Declaration of Independence. You know that, right? So natural law refers to the idea that certain moral principles are inherent in the natural order of the universe and discoverable through human reason and observation. Again, I don't have the right to kill Betty. Why? Natural law. It suggests that there is a universal moral code that applies to all people, regardless of their cultural beliefs. I can't kill somebody just because they're a Muslim. I can't kill somebody just because they're black. Nobody can kill me just because I'm 5'7". Key aspects of natural law include the principles of honesty, non-harm, and rendering into each person what is due to them. Okay. I'm floundering. Are you with me? You understand where we're going here? And so what has happened is the bastard interpretation of natural law to permit the protection of evil. Natural law takes sex between a man and a woman, natural law, to produce a child. But in America today, no, a man and a man can produce a law because they go to what? The law of kindness. Who are you to tell them they can't do that? And so we see right in front of us the violation of all kinds of natural law being accepted. No animal in human that I know of kills its unborn child. In fact, the instinct of a mother bear, we call women mother bears, right? Oh boy, she's a mother bear. Woo boy, don't mess with her. She'll protect her babies. With me? Why? That is a natural law and a natural instinct. Because we've rejected the Bible, the fundamental basis of truth, and hear people say, well, what's right for you may not be right for me, flies in the face of natural law. And so we end up legalizing things that violate natural law. Oh, man, I'm all over the place. I know I am. So I'm going to open up here just a second. I know Trump wants to get in there. Michelle, I know she does too. I'm heading somewhere. Pull up number four. Universal laws. Is there such a thing as a universal law? Where'd they come from? I'm going to run down through these real quickly. These are 12 universal laws. You must know these to manifest anything in your life. I don't know if this is biblical or not. The law of divine oneness. What does that? It means that everything seen and unseen is connected to each other, and it creates a field for divine oneness. Two, Mark Trump, the law of vibration. What is it? The law states that everything in the universe is in motion. It is vibrating in a circular direction, and each thing in the universe vibrates at its own frequency. Wow.
There you go.
How can we use it to manifest our life's desires? Well, this is the law which the law of attraction is based on. This law allows the law of attraction to work by allowing like frequencies to attract. This is so deep, isn't it? This is how you got to know there's a God. Since everything in the universe is vibrating, it means that in order to attract your desire, you only need to raise your frequency to that of which you're trying to attack. Anybody out there other than me, I can tell you, I can close my eyes right now and see in my mind the first time I saw my wife. And we'll tell you something, a buzzer went off. Huh? I'm telling you. I saw that one. I thought, whoa. The law of action. What's the law of action? The law states that in order for things to manifest in your life, you're going to have to do something. Number four, the law of correspondence. The law of correspondence, in essence, says it's above, so as above, so below, meaning in no uncertain terms that your outer reality is direct reflection of your inner reality. Number five, the law of cause and effect. What is it? Law of cause and effect in very direct terms means that for every cause, there's an equal and opposite effect. I can't tell it when I go up my multi-million-dollar out of my multi-million-dollar studio, not my what do they call that? I was going to say elevator. It's not right. Escalator. I'm walking through vibrations. I'm a warmer maybe than the air. There's an effect when you walk through it. Cause and effect. With the law of compensation. What's that? The law of compensation is that we reap what we sow, meaning we get back whatever we put out. It's a law. That go on. I'm not going to go through all of them. I know somebody wanted law of attraction. The law of attraction states that like attracts like. The law of transmutation of energy. What is that? Well, the law of transmutation of energy simply states that energy is constantly flowing from the formless realm and manifesting into the physical realm. Wow. Do you ever ask yourself, we've had a lot of thunderstorms around here this last 5 days. Where's the wind come from? Where the heck does that come from? I mean, all of a sudden everything's cool and calm and shroom, what? Where does that come from? Well, it's the transmutation of energy. Then there's the law of reality. What's that? This law in its very essence states that all laws must be in harmony with each other. So how do you fly an airplane? Because gravity wants my plane to stay on the ground. But I think there's something called aerodynamics, and it's law that lift. Anybody fly out there? What are the ways that make a plane get up in the air? Lift. That's a law. And see, it doesn't cancel the law. It overcomes the law. The law of lift overcomes the law. It's a different law. You're not canceling the old one. You're simply overcoming it. The law of reality. What is it? This law says, essence states that all laws must be in harmony with each other. Huh? Yeah, I can't jump off of a roof and into my driveway, thinking that I'm doing it in the swimming pool. There will be consequences for violating that law. The law of polarity. What's that? The law of polarity states that everything has two aspects or two opposing sides, a yin and a yang, positive, negative, hot, cold, good, bad. You ever been in a meeting with a bunch of people trying to make a decision? There it is. That's a law of polarity. It's what makes things balanced, keeps things functioning. The law of rhythm. What's that? The law of rhythm states that everything has its season or it has its rise and its fall, like a tide. Up, then that. Did you ever think about where are you in the law of rhythm in your life? Are you a crashing wave or are you a building wave? There's a law of gender. I'm going to stop a minute. You say, Coach, I've been in church my whole life. I didn't know any of this. That's okay. That's why you come here in the morning. The law of gender. What is it? Well, the law of gender states that everything has a masculine and feminine side to it. Can't you see what they're trying to do to us in our culture, in our society? They are going against the laws of God. The law. Is there another one? I think there's only 12 of them. Come on in, Trump.
Well, Coach, I'm thinking laws.
Who enforces laws? The government. Right. So let's say we're in a corrupt government.
Right. Wait a minute.
The authority, right?
A parent enforces the law over a child. Go ahead.
Well, that's right. The authority in a home isn't the government. You're the government. That's right. You're the king. Government. Now, we had a king. He was corrupt. We didn't trust the government. We escaped. We came here. A new kingdom formed, a new government that had natural law that we believed in as Christians. And then when that government fell, we lost faith in it.
Right.
That's the American government that came from the European government. Okay, well, we are kingdoms.
Wicked men who did not follow natural moral law. Go ahead.
Correct. So once the people in the country or a group of people in a home lose respect for the authority, All right, now how do you bring back natural law? So the people that they don't trust are trying to say, here's a natural law, but they don't trust them now. They don't trust that that's a natural law, gender. I don't trust y'all anymore. See, when gender came around, we'd already lost faith in all these laws and our government trying to tell us, and our church. The church is the authority for that one, Coach.
That's right.
So when the church didn't push back on the law, the unnatural law, how can the people in the church function? So they lose faith in it. They're not going to believe in it. And they become kings. They become kings, individuals.
Yes, sir.
They become kings. They become authority because they no longer trust authority, the good and the bad laws, the good laws. They can't tell. So that's America. We don't trust our government. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that law applies to you, but not to me.
Right. Now, think about a king. Think about a king. When a new kid gets appointed king because his dad died, he went haywire. Right? That's because he was the law. There was no natural or unnatural for a king, Coach. You're a king.
The law is the schoolmaster. The only way you know something's wrong is if there's a law.
Right. Unless you're a king. You're not under law.
That's right.
Now, if you make yourself a king in your home, Coach, you don't have a God. Kings answer only to God, so you create your own. and answer to him. It's okay if I have prostitutes. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Coach, this model has decimated groups of people over and over and over. What did Paul say to the Corinthians after he raised them up, taught them natural law, brought them out of the world? They went back into their sins, started sacrificing, aborting, fornicating, and he had to go tell them, stop doing that. So why are we that way, Coach? Why are we drawn to being kings? It's we don't want to submit to authority.
Because the natural man, the unregenerated man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit. To him it is foolishness, Mark.
Amen.
And they've taken natural law and they've called it religious law, and they said, we will not have this man rule over us. I'm going to rule myself. That's where we are. And we elect men and women with the same attitude. It's called humanism.
Amen.
So the laws of nature and of nature's God do not apply to humanism, friends.
That's right. That's right.
It's been subtle. It's been subtle. And so we even see this crept into our churches in that pastors will not speak against homosexuality or transgenderism. They won't do it. Why? Because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody, a relative, or whatever. And so they're not speaking the truth. And because the salt has lost its savor, the culture is amok with anything goes. Thanks, Mark. That's great. Rochelle, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. Good morning, team. You know, when you were reading through those 12 laws, one of them made me think of the Hashimoto experiment with the water, or the water and the rice, where you're sending out feelings of love to one and feelings of hate to the other.
Yep.
And it manifests itself in the water. You can see the love and you can see the hate. But I wanted to bring something out. How do I start here? Okay. Take the Statue of Liberty. Okay. That was sent over to us, but anybody who's done a little bit of research into the Statue of Liberty, that's Lucifer. It's the light bearer. It's false light, reason, you can save yourself type theology.
Right.
And I can't help but think, with all of the darkness that they're showing us recently, I mean, you know, all this stuff was going on before. It was just hidden.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so
right. That's right.
Do you think that this great awakening that we're being led into is maybe maybe the powers that be have created this darkness? So when it is shown to us that we go running to this false light, that's the hidden plan for America.
That's right. The Noahide laws. I'm going to pull those up here in a second. It's where we're heading to, right? Man-made laws trumping the laws of God, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I know I tend to go on, so I won't go on, but I just wanted us to bigger picture.
Michelle, would you want me to tell you that you look pretty if you didn't?
Sometimes, but honestly, no.
No. Why do we do that? Why do we think that lying to people is good?
Is that for me?
No, I'm just in general. I'm asking that. Why? Because we want to be nice. I get all that. I get all that.
No, you gain favor.
Once we start going down a path of lying, where does it stop?
You gain favor. Why does the king surround himself with a bunch of yes men? Because they've told him he's doing a great job and he looks pretty. And so here they're all on his good side. Away from me, you prophets. Get away from me. Don't tell me the truth. Tickle my ears.
We will not have this man rule over us. Isn't that what they said about Jesus? And we're still there today. We will not have this man rule over us.
Yeah, the kings of this earth give its power to the system.
Except themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Right? It's right in front of us, and we don't get. I'm heading somewhere, okay? I'm heading somewhere. So go quickly to, thanks for letting me ran on like this. Go to number three, spiritual laws. Four spiritual laws that will change your life. I don't know who Jeremy Lattelier is, okay? I don't know. Stay right there at the top there. Hang on. The physical laws that govern our universe are constant, unchanging, and essential for life. We know that, right? A man cannot be a woman. Well, they say, well, they can go have surgery. Okay, well, they can cut off their parts. That doesn't make them that, right? But the unseen spiritual laws are just as important. You know, let me give this four spiritual laws. These are pretty good. Scroll down, Spence. The law of the universe don't change. Opinions, keep going. Opinions can't overrule physical or spiritual laws. Got that? Opinion can overrule truth. Unchanging constants. Well, law of God has been that. So here are four spiritual laws. Number one, you will reap what you sow. Period. If you plant corn, you're getting corn. If you're planting love, you're going to get love. If you're planting anger, you're going to get anger. This is a spiritual, natural, spiritual law. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man plants, that's what he's going to get. It's a natural law. Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Got it? Go to the next one. You reap what you sow. Now, unfortunately, in our churches, they've turned that into a money grub. Give and you'll get. Give and you'll get. That's God's nature, huh? Well, there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. The motive has a lot to do with it. Number two, spiritual law. What we sow takes time to grow. Time, I got to say it. I can name probably five people right now, maybe more. In the queue, out of the queue, doesn't matter. Who will ask you to pray for them, and you pray a wonderful prayer over them, and 30 seconds later, they're speaking damnation to the prayer that you just said. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? So we want instantaneous growth from our prayers. That's not the way it works. There's a time of planting, there's a time of growing, and there's a time of harvest. And most of us are not very patient in the growth period. Go to the next one. Sin does not subtract. Sin destroys. Vinny, that is a boom. That is a boom. I've been faithful to my wife, and my wife's been faithful to me, I believe. And if she would come to me today and confess to me that she hadn't been faithful, that would destroy our relationship. You understand? It might be recoverable, but it would never be the same. It would never be the same. So keep in mind that the destructive nature of sin, boy, oh boy, oh boy. And think that the Bible tells us that your tongue, watch what you say. Go to number four. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. I got more good stuff. Hey, Vinny, encourage me today. Say, Vinny, somebody out there say, Coach, this is good.
Boom.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks, Vinny. And spiritual law number four, if we could just get this one, the righteousness of God transforms man. Wow. Huh? Those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine on that day that I make them my jewels. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. The righteousness of God, I don't know about you, it transformed me. Before I received Christ, there's just some rules. And we used to say we have standards. I have standards, not morals. Meaning what? Oh, whatever the situation, enough money in it for me, yeah, I'll do it. I'm not going to do that, but enough money in it, I got standards, right? I don't have any morals. I can be bought. And so we see guys go to Washington, D.C., and what happens to them when they go to Washington, D.C.? They get bought. They don't think anybody's watching. They end up on Diddy's list or Epstein's list or part of USAID having money come back to them. Why? Because they're not righteous. And as Tim Tuber would say, they are made righteous. God makes us righteous. It's not something we can do on our own. I don't know about you. I get up every day and try to do the right thing. Do I always do it? I had somebody say to me the other day, I hate to make this about me. Hey, coach, get off the transgender thing, will ya? It just turns people off. Would that be denying Christ? Get off the transgender issue, would that be denying Christ? I got more, but we're going to shut up for a minute. Somebody come on in.
Galatians 4:17 says, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. It's not about that it bothers them. It's the fact that it convicts them.
It convicts them. You're right, Dale. It convicts them. Convicted by it. Hey, by the way, folks, conviction and guilt is a good thing. Conviction and guilt drive you to repentance. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the unconfessed one. You have to agree with God that what you did was wrong. That was wrong. God, I was wrong. Forgive me. Mary Beth.
Coach, I got a story. What time is it? So I have there's a guy up here that has a business, okay, and I've heard from people that, well, he puts up his gay flag and whatever, and I talked to him on Messenger and I told him how I felt, but I had heard that, you know, like possibly because homosexuality can turn into other deviant behaviors, and I told him all that and I pointed out scripture, and he's blocked me now on Facebook. And anyway, and I have gotten some flack, a lot of, I always get flack over my homosexual posts, but God, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, do you want to pat you on the back and tell you what a good Christian you are? Is that what it is?
No. What I want from you is counsel about do I go back? Because I tried to say, you know, I appreciate what you're doing in your business, but the thing is, I've heard rumor that some people are like, they don't trust them. And I would never send my kid there. Or my grandkids. So I put it out on Facebook, and I'm like, my daughter's pissed at me. One of my best friend in the world, like literally has turned on me over this, and I feel really betrayed by it. Anyway, you know, and I, like they say, kill him with kindness, but I just felt led to do that, to tell him on Messenger how I felt. And then I felt led to put it on Facebook because I don't want people putting their kids.
Let me ask you something. I'm not going to get into a counseling session. What does it bother you if you told the truth?
Pardon me?
Why does it bother you if you told the truth?
It doesn't.
We will not speak the truth because we're worried about the reaction from other people.
It doesn't bother me, Coach.
Yes, it does.
Well, okay, in my carnal side, yes, in my flesh, but not in my spirit side, it doesn't bother me. I feel like it was the right thing to
do. You think
I
Jesus
feel like somebody
proud?
Else
think,
can live.
Hey, you think Jesus is proud of you for doing it?
Yeah, probably. I feel like that. Yeah. Hey,
cool.
I do.
Move on.
For real.
Let's move on. Vinny, come on in.
Okay, so once again, gotta go back to what Jack said. Decorum over principle. First Corinthians 6:9. The word Malachi was mistranslated to hide the fact that God mentioned transvestites in the Bible as a danger. This happened 2,000 years ago. So we
because it's a spiritual thing, folks. It's a spiritual thing. Go ahead.
Right. So since it was mistranslated, no one paid attention to the signs of it coming back. And what do we have here in 2025? Gay pride flags all over the place. Come on. Right. We got to learn the lesson.
Right under the nose of Christians.
Boom.
Huh? Right under the nose of promoting a death style. You say, Coach, what are you talking about death style? Hey, folks, sex between a man and a man will never produce life, ever. Sex between a woman and a woman. I don't even know what sex between a woman and a woman would look like. I mean, how do you even do that? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, yes, I do. But it's fruitless. It's fruitless. The Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Folks, listen. God always produces fruit. If there is no fruit, you better check the root. And we're being taught in today's culture and society that we are supposed to stop examining fruit because that's judgmental. Who are you to judge? You shall know them. Somebody finish it for me. You shall know them by
their fruits.
By their fruit. We're fruit inspectors. Come on in, Dale.
And it's not always necessary. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. So a couple points. First off, my points on sowing and reaping. He who sows to the flesh will what? Reap corruption. Three points of reaping and sowing. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. You plant corn, you get corn. Second thing is if you sow, you reap. Plain fact. Doesn't matter whether it's fleshly or spiritual. Third fact is that you reap a bounty. In other words, nobody puts a kernel of corn in the ground to reap a kernel. You reap what? A bushel. This same principle applies in the spirit. Coach, when we sin, that is the seed of sin, it produces something that is more catastrophic to us and to the people around us. Our sin, we always think, that's how selfish we get, that it only affects us. And it doesn't. It affects other people, like Coach. If you were to be unfaithful, which I highly would ever doubt, to your wife, that doesn't just affect you or your wife. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. Right. And it affects the people in this queue. Okay, so that's, you know, those are the things. Now, the second thing is we've talked about this many a times on the show. The two, it says all the law hinges on these two, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says the second is like the first. It's not the first. So when we're afraid, confrontation stinks, but guess what, Coach? Sometimes it's required. And so when we don't confront, right? When we don't confront that, right? It's to understand this is that we love our neighbor more than we love God. We're more concerned of what people think than what God thinks. And God said this in Leviticus 19, starting in verse 15, this deals with that you will judge your neighbor. And then it ends.
Spencer, hang on, Dale, while you're talking. Spencer, go to Webster and pull up fidelity. Go ahead, Dale. Keep going.
And so in Leviticus 19, that's when Jesus was quoting to the Pharisees. They knew exactly what he was talking about. And he told them, he said, listen, if you love your neighbor, then you'll what? You'll check your neighbor. You're not a critical spirit. But, Coach, if you got a neighbor who molests children, are you going to judge that? Are you going to do something about that? Or, oh, I can't judge my neighbor. Of course you are. When you don't do something, and listen, I'll say it again, confrontation stinks. Sometimes it's required. I don't look for confrontation, but sometimes, Coach, it is. And that is loving my neighbor enough to tell them the truth.
That's right. That protects the innocent. By the way, Webster says fidelity is faithfulness. Let me ask you, folks, faithful to who? Careful and exact observance of duty. Or performance of obligations. If my neighbor is molesting his child, am I supposed to ignore it? Say, Coach, it's not your kid. Mind your own business, really? We expect fidelity in a public minister, in an agent or trustee, and in a domestic servant, and in a friend. Wow. Neil.
I think one of the reasons you were talking about, you know, homosexual sex and stuff, a lot of people want to have the pleasure of doing it, but we have gotten so lazy as a society. We don't want the work that comes with the fruit that we are bearing. You know, if you plant your tomatoes in the garden and, oh, yeah, this one's about ready to pick. So you pick it, you let it ripen a little bit more. You have to put a lot of effort into it. And I think that's, we are so lazy. We want the pleasure, but we don't want to put forth the effort into taking care of the fruit.
Neil, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of a situation. I got to be careful how I say this. I'm not afraid to say it, but certain things you just don't say publicly, right? Situation. And I want to ask, pardon me, these are adults, by the way. Does anybody in this family know what marriage is? Y'all shacking up, sleeping around. Any of you know what marriage is? But you're not allowed to ask that kind of stuff, are you? You've been being judgmental. Man, oh man, this is deep. This is deep. Mary Beth.
Did anybody hear about the Macron deal? It's twisted. It's about as twisted as you can get. And that's what homosexuality and crap leads to. Like, it's a twisted story.
Well, here, same with Obama. Let me take it a different. We're where we are, friends, because of compromise. You compromise. And you think that they're making laws in Congress right now, it's all compromise, right? In order to get you to vote for me, I got to compromise. I want to do away with abortion. I don't want any more federal funding of abortion. And this guy over here says, okay, I'll vote for you if you'll vote for this. And so then you compromise. That's where it always starts, folks. Hey, Spence, pull that word up there, compromise. Words mean things, you know. Compromise, a mutual promise or contract of two parties in controversy to revert their differences. An amicable agreement between parties in controversy to settle their differences by mutual concession. Now, let me ask you something. Do you have some things that you're not going to compromise on? You let your son, sorry, spend the night with his girlfriend when he's in high school? Huh? It always starts with little compromise, little things. And we don't want to say anything about the little things because we don't want to cause any, what's the word I'm looking for? Disagreement. We compromise. Compromise will kill you. You ever better hear anybody that's got some medicine say, oh, it was compromised. It was kind of, yeah, that's compromised. Right? Come on, Jack.
Yeah. Little thought on compromise. You and I, as righteous people, can have a conversation and have a righteous compromise. We can agree that what you said really works.
Absolutely.
But when you compromise with evil, you cannot get the evil out of the compromise. My example I use with all the politicians I deal with is if you put that tea in my coffee, you can't get it out. And I don't want any tea in my coffee.
Give it back.
I'm careful.
Yep. Amen. 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 And so, you know, in this time in which we live, when there is so much compromise, that's why there's such pressure on the rest of us to do the right thing. Because everybody compromises. Everybody makes deals. But there have to be some points, some places where we say, what was the name of that bat out of hell? And that meatloaf. I'll do anything for love. Yes, I'll do anything for love. Oh, I'll do anything for love. But I won't do that. Right? Do we have that within us anymore? Or are we all just compromise and vote for compromiser and support compromisers, just trying to make peace, just trying to keep the peace? By the way, God is a, it says in Matthew chapter 5, he's a peace maker.
Boom.
Not a peace keeper. In my house, I've shared this many times, in my house, my mom was the peace keeper. No, keeper. She kept the boys from fighting. And then when she got to her wits' end, she called on the peace maker, which was my dad, came in the room and took off his belt. And so many of us in America today are peace keepers. Jesus said, you cry peace, peace, where there is no peace. Christians, Christ is the peace maker, not the peacekeeper. Mark.
God, think about God. Is he compromised? So if you think about it, he can't be around sin. He created us and can't be around sin.
Amen. He can't stand the smell.
He departed from us who he created. Don't you think he wants to be around us? But he don't compromise, Coach. He can't be around sin.
He will not be around. It's a natural
We have law. To walk. We have to walk that solidly. Otherwise, if he's around sin, he's not our God.
He can't be.
So we got to think about it in black and white terms. Otherwise, we're going to compromise.
So, Mark, is God going to bless America if we continue to kill babies?
No. Actually, he's going to stamp us out. And it's a model he's done over and over and over. When society has fallen, they all fall into sexual immorality, and they take it out on the children every time. Go back through the Bible and look. That's when God acts.
Speaking the truth and doing the truth requires courage, folks. Dale, quickly. Maybe he just didn't take his hand down, right? So I guess to kind of wrap this whole thing up, I promised I would do it. Pull up Noah Hyde laws. Because we've done away with the laws of God, here's what they're trying to bring on us. I'm going to spend some time. I'm not going to do it now. This is Shabbat.org. This is what, I'm not allowed to say the word Jewish. I'm not allowed to say that. This is what they want to bring in America. Are you guys familiar with this? Here are the 7 Noahide laws. Scroll down, Spence. What are they? Do not profane God's oneness in any way. 2, do not curse your creator. No matter how angry you may be, do not take out verbally against your creator. These are the Noahide laws. Do not murder. Do not eat a limb of a still living animal. No crawdads, I guess, Dale. Do not steal. Harness and channel the human libido. And establish courts of law and ensure justice in our world based on the Noahide laws. Now, folks, that's pretty dangerous stuff. Because you do understand, don't you? Tell me you do. That the Jews are living a Christless judicial system. You understand that? There's no Jesus in the Noahide laws, folks. It would be legalism at its finest. And that's where we're heading if the church doesn't arise and begin to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in combat for what God says is right and righteous and good. And we're not. And I was all over the place this morning. Ponder some of this stuff. I'm put all these things in the chat. God, we're so ignorant, aren't we? Really so ignorant of where we are and what's going on. See you tomorrow.